Thank you so much, V&G, for that message and song this morning. So I don't know about you guys, but I have experienced several times in my life where I've been given a test, and I was really wondering if I would ever pass, or if I could have the possibility of passing. I experienced actually this past week. I just finished up my classes at Southeastern Seminary, and I was studying for this philosophy exam that I had, and it had been a pretty difficult class throughout the semester. And so I studied for it, and I was ready. And so then I actually was an online test, and so I opened it up, and I began to look at the questions, and I had confidence. And then as I looked through the questions, it just kind of just dropped. I was like, oh boy, what have I gotten myself into? Thankfully, I did pass. It wasn't necessarily with the grade that I would have liked, necessarily, but it was, thankfully, a passing grade. And I mean, there's lots of tests that we have in our lives, and tests can be very challenging, particularly in both their preparation and in the actual examination. And so this morning, we're actually going to look at a test that God gave to Abraham, and we're going to see how Abraham was given a promise. But then God gave a test that it appeared that promise was being threatened. But yet Abraham was able to move forward and be faithful to what God had said to do, both in the short term to receive the long-term promise. But we're going to see this morning. We're going to see Abraham face a test that, and honestly, it seems like an impossible one to pass. And even though the circumstances were uncertain, he still moved forward. And the same is true in our lives. God gives us tests. And at times we face uncertain circumstances. But just as Abraham was able to pass, so were we. So I want us to think about this question this morning as we get started. What hope can I have to trust God when I am faced with uncertain circumstances? We're going to see the hope that Abraham had, and we're also going to see the hope that we can have as well. So you can turn your Bible in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 19, and I'm just going to take it in chunks. We won't read the whole thing at once, but we'll just kind of work through it and see how this story unfolds this morning. So starting in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says this. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Right, so right here from the beginning, we're going to see that Abraham was faithful in his preparation. He was faithful in his preparation. And before examining our text, it's important to understand the larger context of what is going on here and how Abraham actually got here. All right, so we have Genesis 22. Abraham's test, but really this started in Genesis chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but this is the you could say the initiation or the beginning of God's relationship with Abraham. This is where God established what is known as the Abrahamic covenant. All right, and this covenant was that he would be the father of many nations. All right, so he says, God says, I will bless you, and you will be a father of many nations, even though you have no children as of yet, but in order for this promise to be fulfilled, I'm asking you to move from your homeland of Ur and to go to where I tell you to go. And so Abraham believes God, and he begins traveling to this land, not sure entirely where he was going, but he believes God's promise. And so that's chapter 12. And then we actually jump to chapter 15, which is about 15 years later. All right, and so at this point, Abraham, he's having some doubts, honestly, because he said, okay, God has told me I'm going to be the father of many nations, yet me and my wife, Sarah, have no children. We still have no children. So you can think, okay, yeah, he's probably really wondering if this was really what he should have done. You know, he's like, I moved from my homeland. I took me and my family. We went to this place. We followed God. Yet I still don't see the results of what God has promised me. All right, so and it's amazing because right here in Genesis 15, God actually, he renews that promise. He reminds Abraham of that covenant. Right? And he says here in Genesis 15:6, he says that Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. All right, so God comes to Abraham in the midst of his doubt, reestablishes that promise, and Abraham believes that promise. All right, and so it's incredible to think, because after this, it was another 10 years from Genesis 15. So it was a total of 25 years until Abraham and Sarah were giving Isaac their son. I mean, that's a lot of waiting. I'm 24 years old. That's longer than my entire life. All right, and God had promised to Abraham, you know, this would come, and he waited and he waited and he waited, but God was faithful to fulfill his promise. And so this all provides the backdrop for what we're going to see in Genesis 22, because without a doubt, Abraham, he had been through a test before. God had just brought him through this, the 25 years in receiving Isaac. And Abraham wasn't always perfect. He actually failed the test. When Sarah gave Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar, and they had a child, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised son. It was through his wife, Sarah, performing God's way. And so Abraham had failed, but yet God was still faithful. And so we come to our text in Genesis 22 this morning, and we see that the writer says right here, this is a test. It says, Genesis 22:1 says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I." All right, so Abraham says right here, he says, "Here am I." So this implies Abraham's willingness to listen to God and to be obedient to what God says. Right? Because this is crucial, considering the event that is about to follow, what God is about to tell Abraham. All right, so God gives Abraham an incredibly difficult command to obey. Yet, because Abraham has trust in the one who gave the command, he is willing to follow that. Because we just think about this. We think about, okay, Abraham just spent 25 years in anticipation of his son. Right, he has his son. He loves his son. He knows that this is God's promised child that they were to have in their family and be the descendants of many nations. And right here, what we're going to see is God calls Abraham to sacrifice that son, to kill him. All right. And so we have to ask ourselves when we see this kind of command, how willing am I to follow the commands of God? Am I only willing to follow God when when it's easy, or am I willing to follow God when it disrupts my comfort and when He asks me to do things that are difficult to do? Abraham was asked right here to sacrifice what was most precious to him. And are we willing to sacrifice what is most precious to us if that's what God calls us to do in obedience? So we'll see what happens. Here, let's pick up in verse 3. It says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" So right here, God gives Abraham this command, and his response is nearly immediate. The next day, he begins to make preparations for the sacrifice that God had called him to. And it is interesting right here in verses 3 through 5, just the detailed imagery that the writer gives leading up to the process of the sacrifice. I think he does that in order to highlight the continual obedience of Abraham throughout this process. I mean, a sacrifice took preparation. It took chopping wood. It took making preparations to take an actual three-day journey. And we see Abraham's obedience throughout this entire process. And so we want to, as we see this, we got to think here. What was Abraham going through emotionally at this point? Now, there's no comment in the text as to what Abraham actually felt. But we can only imagine that these were three of the most miserable days of his entire life. I mean, I can imagine that he hardly slept. He probably didn't eat because he was emotionally ripped to pieces between his love for his son and his love for God. And when it came down to it, he was called to sacrifice one of the things that was most precious to him for his most precious relationship with God. And so he was called to sacrifice his child, and I mean, just as we think about this, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine just as a parent, this would be absolutely devastating. I mean, for your parents, I mean, just imagine if God called you to do something like this. How difficult would that be? And not to minimize the situation, but for those who aren't parents, like just think about, you know, some of the most intense feelings of anxiety and fear that you've ever felt in your life leading up to a situation that you're unsure about. And that's what Abraham was feeling right here. So we look at these verses and we really want to think, okay, how do we know that Abraham still believed God up to this point? And verse 5 clues us in on that when it says, "And the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." He says, you know, we're leaving our servants. We got to a certain point on the journey. They said, we're leaving the servants behind, and Abraham and Isaac were to be the only two to go up and make the sacrifice. So he says, we're leaving, but we're coming back. We're coming back to you. Both of us are. All right. So despite this command, Abraham still believed God that Isaac would be the one to bring forth the blessing of the nations throughout the world. And so we see this tension here, and we see that Abraham is wrestling right here with both the long-term promise of God and the short-term command of God. Right, but Abraham believes God in what he promised in the long term, therefore he was able to trust him in the short term. Right? And so that's a question we got to ask ourselves today. Do I trust God in both the short term and the long term of my life? I know what God's promised, but sometimes, many times in our day-to-day lives, it's easy to forget those promises due to life's uncertain circumstances. So we have to remember the long-term promises that God has given us. God promises, like for instance in Romans 8, we read the call to worship this morning, that God is always with us, and he promises to make us more and more like him until the day that we see Christ Jesus. We see that in Philippians chapter 1. And then we also see in Hebrews 13:5 that God will never leave us or forsake us. So we can trust God in the midst of our despair, in the midst of our uncertainties. And as I said, it's very easy to forget on a day-to-day basis. But we can rest assured in what God has promised us in the future. Now, I'm not saying that God will give us everything that we want. God doesn't promise to give us everything that we want, but God does promise to always be with us and to always supply for us what we need. And so we can take courage and hope in that in days where it looks like God is not with us. Because there's days, right, where we feel like God is not with us, but God is with us. And God is still faithful to provide what he said he would and provide our needs. Not everything we want, but everything that we do need, and we can always trust in that. So continuing on to Genesis 22, verse 6, it says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father!' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." So right here we see Abraham is in the final stages of making a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Abraham is making this preparation for the sacrifice, Isaac notices something. He says, in verse 7, he says, "Look, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the offering?" And Abraham's response is, "The Lord will provide." Now, this is a very vague response of Abraham. But it just shows that Abraham is believing God in the midst of his uncertainty that he would provide a sacrifice. And so we got to come back and just think to ourselves, do I trust God in the moments of uncertainty in my life? Do I trust God when it seems like my back is against the wall and there's no way out? And sometimes, too, from a human standpoint, it looks so easy to go contrary to the commands of God, especially when it looks like there's no other option. Yet there was. I mean, we have to think, okay, like, am I one to obey God when it's uncertain? Or am I only one to obey God when things are easy and life is great? Because when we follow God, we will inevitably be faced with tests that will make us uncomfortable and will push us to continually trust in God. Following Christ means going places we're not comfortable going. It means befriending people that we're not comfortable being friends with. And it literally means throwing our lives on the altar of sacrifice to God in total surrender with everything that we have and everything that we are. But we can be sure that the reward for obedience to God will always outweigh the cost. And this is for the glory of God and for the joy of all nations through the church. And that is very worth it. That comes at a cost. It comes at a high price, but the reward is so, so much greater. And that was the case for Abraham, and that will certainly be the case for us. So let's continue in verse 9. It says, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" So first we see in verses 1 through 8, we see that Abraham was faithful in his preparation to God. And we also see here, beginning in verses 9 through 14, that Abraham was faithful to offer the sacrifice. Abraham continues to obey God by offering up his son Isaac as a sacrifice as God had commanded him. Now it is important to make this note, because at least when I was growing up, I felt like I know I kind of pictured that Isaac was like a little kid, like, you know, like a little toddler or a boy that, you know, he didn't really know what was going on. But that is clearly not the case as to what's going on here, because we look back in Genesis 22:6, and we see that Isaac was actually the one who carried the wood. All right, and this is probably 15. Isaac was probably between the age of about 15 to 20. All right, so he was at least a teenager at this time. So he clearly knew what was going on. And also, I mean, at this point, Isaac was probably stronger than Abraham physically. So that means Isaac could have actually resisted getting on the altar. He could have fought his father away, but yet he didn't. He willingly laid himself on the altar of sacrifice. So as Isaac trusted Abraham, Abraham trusted God. So we see this pattern of obedience from the child to the father. And as Abraham has knife in hand, he is literally about to sacrifice his son, the one that God had promised, the angel of the Lord comes to him and commands him not to lay his hands on Isaac. God stopped Abraham right before he was to kill his son. It says that Abraham did not withhold his son, his only son, from the Lord. So we got to think, all right, what was going through Abraham's mind at this point? You know, I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, what do you think when you've been told one thing and it appears God's telling you to do the exact opposite? And I think verse 10 says that here that he stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. So it appears that his mind was made up. He was ready to do this because this is what God had actually told him to do. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, actually, verse 17 to 19, kind of clues us in on what Abraham was thinking here. The writer of Hebrews says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." So it appears that Abraham here believed God to the point where he thought that God was going to raise Isaac back from the dead. And that's to the extent of Abraham's faith. And it's interesting to note, because there was nothing that actually happened in Abraham's life that would have even been an indication that this could even be possible, or this is how God would work. All right, but Abraham still was faithful in his obedience, because he believed that God would fulfill the promise that he had made to him. So we want to track back to Genesis 15 for a second and remember what took place there. Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Right, so because of Abraham's faith, he was able to be obedient. Right? Abraham was not seen right before God because of his works, but because of his faith. James 2:22 through 23 actually cites Genesis 15:6, and it says that Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Right, so as I talked about at the beginning with Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 with the Abrahamic covenant, that all comes into play right here in Genesis 22. Because if there was no Genesis 15 where Abraham believed God, there would be no Genesis 22 where Abraham was obedient to God. So his action was rooted in his belief. All right, so we see that Abraham's faithful belief produced his faithful living. Right, and that's where we can sometimes get it mixed up. We think that we just got to do, but we got to remember the root of why we do. We do what we do because we believe, and that's where Abraham's faith was rooted in, and that's where ours should be as well. So we see both the faithfulness of Abraham and of Isaac in this story, really, and particularly in this section. And for Isaac, he obeyed his earthly father. And Abraham, he obeyed his heavenly father. And this is a good application point, particularly for students, my guys, and we've talked about this before. But, you know, Abraham clearly exhibits a model to be obedient to your parents. And for all of us, we need to ask, hey, what kind of authorities in my life are over me? And what is my response to them? Do I respond in resistance or do I respond in obedience? Do I complain and claim to know more or to know better than those who are in authority over me? Or do I submit to the authorities that God has placed in me over my life? Abraham obeyed his heavenly father even when he didn't understand. And that's how we are also called to obey our heavenly father. Even when we don't understand, we can trust his promises and move forward in confidence that he will fulfill them. So coming here to verse 13 of Genesis 22, it says this. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." So after the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham, he looks up, and there was a ram caught in the bushes. By no accident, but it was truly the sovereign hand of God. God provided a ram for the sacrifice. And this was really an act of worship to the Lord. As we see sacrifices throughout the entire Old Testament, this was not simply something based off human work or human merit, but it was a result of the faith that the men of the Old Testament had. And that was the way it was to be exhibited. It wasn't to be something done just to do, but it was truly an act of worship to God, and it was evidence that they believed in God. And so I love how this commentator, Kent Hughes, he puts it this way. As the flames consumed the ram, Abraham and Isaac were offering their hearts to God. And Abraham, we see here that Abraham passed the test, and God provided the sacrifice. So God tested Abraham not because God wondered whether or not Abraham would pass the test, but God tested Abraham in order to bring Abraham to a clearer understanding of who he is. Abraham, his faith was certainly stretched in this situation. And therefore, Abraham learned from it to be more reliant upon God. And again, he was reassured of that covenant that was promised in Genesis 12, reminded of in Genesis 15, and then reassured in Genesis chapter 22. And so, like Abraham, God gives us tests. And like Abraham as well, God's not wondering whether or not we're going to pass them. He already knows the answer to that, but he gives us tests to bring us into a closer reality of who he is and to bring us back to the constant reminder of that we need to realize how dependent we are upon him. So, like Abraham, God reminds us of the promises that he has given to us, particularly in Christ, and become reassured of those promises through our test. And so this is encouraging to see, because there are times in our lives where it feels like God has hung us out to dry. I'm sure we've all experienced those kind of circumstances and situations in one way or another. We feel like God has forgotten us and we don't know what to do. But we can always rest assured in the promises of God that he will be with us and that he will provide provision with every test. Every test comes with a provision. It's never just a test, but there's always provision that comes with. And so as we embrace this, as we believe this, we can be confident that we need God and that God is always with us through our trials and that we will continue to mature and that we will develop greater confidence in God that we can always trust Him. I want to get to Genesis, the last section here, Genesis 22, 15 through 19, which is really the crux of this passage and really enlightens our understanding of why this story took place. It says this: "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." So at the very end here, we're going to see that God was faithful and God blessed the nations through Abraham just as he had promised. So we see actually the angel of the Lord coming to Abraham for the second time here. We see that for the first time in verses 11 through 12 of this chapter. And then we see it right here in beginning in verse 15. So God reaffirms what he had promised and he provided for the test as we just saw. But God always knew what the outcome would be. All right, so we need to note, too, that Abraham's obedience was not contingent upon the blessing that God gave to Abraham. God already promised that this would happen. He promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And he already failed with Hagar and Ishmael. But God was continually growing Abraham and reminding him of this promise despite his failures. One commentator said it like this. It says, "Perhaps this feature of the narrative is intended to show that the renewal of God's original promises to Abraham is not based on Abraham's specific actions in carrying out the test, but rather on faith and obedience he has shown through the test." So as Abraham was obedient, God was faithful, and God moved his mission forward in the promise to bless all nations. So as we see this story, as we take a step back from it, we think, wow, Abraham and Isaac, both great examples of faith, both great examples of how we should be obedient in the test that we are given with God. But the thing is that Abraham and Isaac are not the stars of this story. God is. God is the star. And particularly, Jesus is. Even though this is the Old Testament, but we're going to see how this story points to an even greater story. Looking in verse 16, it says, the angel of the Lord says this, he says, "You have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son." And this passage does not only show how our faith should grow through testing, but it also foreshadows the one whom our faith can ultimately be placed in salvation. This story points to a story of another father who did not withhold his son, his only son. But unlike Abraham, this father did bring the knife down and did slaughter his son. And this father is God. And that is, the son is his son Jesus. As Romans 8:32 says, "He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" So as Abraham offered up Isaac, God offered up Jesus on our behalf. And God did this in order that we may have life through his son. So in Abraham, God promised to bless all the nations. And this promise of blessing the nations reaches ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, who would come to bless all nations and give them eternal life through his death and resurrection. So our story does not simply end with the sacrifice of a ram, but it points to an even greater sacrifice of the one who would come and pay for the sins of the world in order for us to be brought back to God and to receive eternal life. And he offers that to you and I. Jesus took our place, and he is our sacrifice for our sins so that sin and death could be defeated. So as we walk away from this text this morning, may we remember that God does test us, but with every test comes provision. And as God provided for Abraham, God provides for us. And God tested Abraham in order to bring us to, or God tested Abraham in order to bring him to more dependence upon God, and that's what he does for us as well. But the main point here is that Christ is shown to be our ultimate provision. He came to do what none of us could have done. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. He laid himself on the altar to sacrifice for our sins so that me and you may have eternal life. So the ultimate provision this morning we see is found in none other than Christ Jesus himself. And we are able to receive that. We are recipients of God's grace through Jesus. All right, now, as we look here at verse 19, it says that Abraham, Isaac, and his men went back to Beersheba, just as Abraham believed that they would. And that was where they were living at that time. And as Abraham walked away from this experience, little did he know of what was to come. And it's amazing to see the full scope of what God had in mind. He had not only Abraham's personal test and provision, but he also had God's provision for man to provide a Savior. And what a great truth that is. So this morning, may we remember God's faithfulness, and may we always trust his provision in our lives, even during the midst of uncertain circumstances. And may we always hope and have faith in the ultimate provision that God has provided through Christ himself. So I want to pray for us, and then I will invite you to come to the altar if you would like, or I'll be down front to pray. And I just encourage you to respond to the grace of Jesus this morning. Father God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for what it says. We thank you for the provision that you give for us, God. Not only do you test us, but you always provide provision for us. We thank you for the ultimate provision that has been provided in none other than Christ himself, God. So may we bask in that this morning. May that be our hope. May that be our joy. We thank you that we are heirs of eternal life because of what you have done for us in the sacrifice of your Son. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.